Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You gave us a stack of sources that suggest, well, the biggest creative revolution since the palette knife is upon us. And frankly, it sounds a little like science fiction.
It really does. Today, we are strapping in for the rumored architecture of Midjourney V7.
Which is this huge leap from, you know, text prompts to total mind-to-image generation.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. If you've spent any time at all using generative AI, you know all about what we call the friction of language.
Oh, yeah. It's that headache of trying to explain this non-linear vision you have.
Right.
Using these very linear, limited words, it's an exercise in compromise.
You might have a perfectly clear image in your head, the texture of moss, the exact shade of twilight.
You're forced to just, you know, compress that whole feeling into a 50-word text string. It's frustrating.
And you end up talking like a programmer, not an artist. You're obsessed with syntax.
Yeah, 16.9 stylized 500.
Yeah, so you're basically engineering. That's not pure artistic expression.
And that frustration, that exact limitation, is the philosophical foundation for this whole rumored architecture. The goal is to remove the middleman.
Yeah, and the middleman is language itself.
Yeah.
Vocabulary.
If the AI can interface directly with your brain's visual cortex, language is just... It's bypassed completely.
So instead of me spending 10 minutes trying to describe, I don't know, the color of profound existential sadness, which is an impossible prompt.
Totally impossible.
The system just knows what I mean.
It just knows. The AI detects the specific neural signature of that emotion, that feeling, and it renders the color palette that matches your internal state instantly.
So our mission today is to get past the hype and really understand the science that moves image generation from the keyboard right into the brain.
And what that means for privacy, for creativity, for everything.
We're exploring the transition from being a prompt engineer to becoming a dream architect.
I like that.
It feels like magic, but we've seen the sources. This is all grounded in some pretty cutting-edge neuroscience. Let's jump into the mechanism behind what some are calling Project Telepathy.
What's so fascinating here is that while the result feels revolutionary, the mechanism itself is, well, it's just mechanical. It's data-driven.
How so?
When you just imagine an apple, your brain fires a specific measurable electrical pattern.
Okay.
And that pattern is just structured data. To a machine, it's basically encrypted information just waiting to be decoded.
So the brain is transmitting data. How does the machine actually decrypt that thought? We've got this three-step process outlined in the research.
Right. So step one is the input stage. It's called signal acquisition.
The sensors.
The sensors. Right now, that means high-end EEG or fMRI machines reading the electromagnetic activity that your brain generates when you form a thought.
But that's just raw electrical static, right? Just noise without context.
It is, which brings us to step two, semantic decoding. This is the computational heart of the system.
This is where the AI comes in.
This is where a sophisticated diffusion model, or maybe an LLM, is trained to map those raw electrical patterns to specific concepts. It's like a universal translator for your brain.
Can you give us an analogy here? Because mapping a messy electrical signal to a clear concept like red seems like a huge leap.
Think of it like mapping Morse code, but instead of dots and dashes, you have these frequency spikes in certain brain regions. The model learns that signal pattern X, when it happens in region P, corresponds to the concept of red. And maybe signal pattern Y in region Q means round. It doesn't know what you're thinking, but it knows this specific neural activity has always correlated with the word round in its training data.
But wait, my idea of red is probably different from yours. It's based on my memories, my biology.
Yeah.
How can the LLM create a universal dictionary?
That is the critical challenge. And the answer is that the models have to be dynamic, they have to be personalized. And that leads right into step three, visual reconstruction and feedback. The AI generates the image based on those concepts, red, round, textured. But it doesn't just stop there. This is the key.
There's a feedback loop.
An instantaneous feedback loop.
Wow.
It refines the output in real time based on your brain's immediate reaction. If the AI generates an image that's only 80% right, your brain shows a measurable signal of, let's call it, neural disappointment.
And the AI sees that signal.
It sees that signal and adjusts the color saturation before you even consciously think, no, that red's too dull.
That is genuinely transformative. It's a conversation happening faster than conscious thought. So if I think, make the sun set, and it renders an image, but my visual cortex says the shadows should be longer.
The AI is correcting the shadows before you can even reach for the mouse.
Exactly. It's a closed-loop system for optimization.
And the rumors are that Midjourney is already collaborating with neurotech startups on this.
The indication is strong, yes. They want to use these neural signals as direct input prompts to supplement and then eventually to replace text. Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. We've talked about the theory, but this isn't just theoretical, is it?
Not at all. The sources are clear. The scientific proof for this kind of large-scale mind-to-image reconstruction, it already exists.
And it's been demonstrated publicly.
Publicly. We're talking about major breakthroughs between, say, 2023 and 2025. This isn't garage startups. This is the University of Texas, the National University of Singapore. They've already done this with fMRI and models like Stable Diffusion.
So tell us about Project Mindvis, because that seems to be the foundational moment, the study that turned this from research into a real commercial goal.
Project Mindvis is the landmark. Researchers put subjects inside an MRI scanner and just showed them images, landscapes, animals, objects.
And the AI was reading only the brain data.
Only the brain data. It had zero photographic input and the output. It was a visual reconstruction of what the person was looking at.
And the accuracy was stunning.
Stunning. It reconstructed the images with 85% semantic accuracy. Now, that doesn't mean it was 85% pixel perfect. That's much harder.
Right. So what does semantic accuracy mean here?
It means the AI correctly identified the high-level concepts. If the subject was looking at a teddy bear, the AI didn't just draw a fuzzy blob.
It drew a bear.
It drew a bear. It correctly inferred bear, softness, toy. It preserved the core meaning of the image from neural activity alone. And that's the proof of concept. That's what Midjourney V7 is trying to commercialize.
Which brings us to the biggest anxiety I think most listeners probably have. We see the Neuralink headlines and we think, do I need brain surgery to use this? A chip in my skull just to make better pictures.
Yeah, let's just settle that right now. We can all relax on the cranial drilling. The focus, overwhelmingly, is on non-invasive BCI.
Brain-computer interfaces.
That work entirely externally. They want mass market adoption, not surgical complexity.
So what does the hardware actually look like? Are we talking about a whole separate device?
The smart money is on integrating it into hardware people are already getting ready to buy.
Ah.
Think future versions of the Apple Vision Pro, the Meta Quest headsets, high-end AR and VR gear.
Because they're already on your head.
Exactly. These devices are already head-mounted. They're rigid. It's perfect for EEG integration. You just build the advanced EEG bands right into the head straps. The headset basically becomes a neural reader.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But full mind reading still feels complex. The sources suggest there's probably a bridge technology before we get full telepathy.
Yes, a necessary stepping stone.
Yeah.
And that bridge is likely to be something called gaze-based inpainting.
Okay. How would that actually work?
So imagine you've rendered this huge landscape. You look at it and your eyes lock onto one specific area, say a tree in the background that just looks wrong.
And your brain registers that dissatisfaction.
Your brain registers it. Maybe you have a micro frown. Your eye tracking shows your focus there. The AI sees that nonverbal physiological input.
And it fixes it.
Precisely. It automatically regenerates or inpaints only that specific section. It uses your focus dissatisfaction as a targeted prompt to fix the tree. It's a critical first step because it gets you used to a non-keyboard, non-verbal feedback loop.
The artistic revolution sounds incredible. I mean, total creative freedom. But this is where the dream turns into a potential nightmare because we have to talk about privacy.
Mm-hmm.
If an AI can read your mind to make art, what else is it collecting? And what is it storing?
This immediately gets us past data privacy like GDPR and into this totally uncharted territory of mental privacy.
Right.
Think about it. You're focused on generating a peaceful landscape, but underneath that, you're human. Your subconscious flashes a private thought anxiety about a meeting, a personal memory, just a random intrusive image.
And that's still a neural signal.
It is absolutely still a neural signal. So does the AI render that intrusive thought on screen for a split second? More importantly, if Midjourney is collecting and storing your brain prompts to improve their model.
Which they would have to.
They would have to. That data is now on a cloud server.
Which means it's hackable.
Yeah.
Or worse, subpoenable.
Exactly. We have to ask, who owns the copyright to a thought you haven't even consciously formed yet? What happens if an insurance company gets access to your raw neural data and sees patterns of anxiety?
Wow.
This is why the issue of neurorights the fundamental right to mental privacy is going to be the defining legal battle of the late 2020s. We're talking about protecting the contents of your own head.
The last private space.
The last truly private space. And countries are already moving to define mental data as its own unique category, requiring explicit consent before it can be collected or used. This is happening now.
So let's bring it back to the rumored mid-2026 launch of Midjourney V7. Full, perfect telepathy still seems like a massive leap for a consumer product by then.
It is. The most credible prediction we looked at suggests they'll introduce a hybrid interface.
Like a compromise.
A sensible, necessary compromise to ease everyone into this new world.
So how would this hybrid system actually work for me as a creator on day one?
You'd still use text for the main concept. You'd type in a vast, moody, cyberpunk cityscape at dusk. That sets the scene.
Okay, the foundation is still text.
But then it uses continuous biometric and neural feedback from those EEG sensors, from your smartwatch, to adjust the vibe, the mood of the image.
So my emotional state determines the artistic style.
Exactly. If your heart rate is up or your skin response shows arousal, the system might make the image more chaotic. Starker lighting, fractured lines.
And I'm calm.
If you're calm, showing relaxed theta wave patterns, the lighting becomes softer, the composition more balanced, the colors more harmonious. It's the practical first step to fusing mind and machine.
That synthesis is what we came here for. The technology, even in that hybrid form, it shifts our role from technical operator
to pure conceptualist.
We're no longer prompt engineers fighting with syntax.
We become dream architects. When this tech fully matures, the skill of prompt engineering will literally vanish. The sources argue that the new skill, the thing that will differentiate great artists, is the clarity of your imagination.
The ability to dream lucidly.
The people who can hold a complex, stable vision in their mind's eye without distraction, they will be the masters of this new medium.
Which is a beautiful and also potentially terrifying thought. Plus, we have to acknowledge the reality. Until that day comes, we're all still sticking to our keyboards and Discord servers.
For now, yes. But we know the risks are profound. Mental privacy, data security. But the reward is total creative freedom, removing every single barrier between an idea and its execution.
So we have to leave you with this provocative thought based on everything we've explored. This tech is coming, and it's coming fast. If a company released a comfortable, non-invasive headset that could visualize your thoughts instantly, offering you that total friction-free creative freedom.
Would you wear it?
Would you wear it? Knowing that your subconscious data, your fleeting fears and private thoughts might be collected and stored, is the risk to your mental privacy just too high? What stands out to you about the future of creation?
Something to think about.
We'll be mulling that over until our next deep dive. Thank you for joining us.